Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So often as the clock on the wall says, stop, we stopped, and Randall had more to say. Go ahead, please.
Right. I was just saying before the break there that one of the ones we might get into is, I believe one of the witnesses or experiencers believed he had a space daughter.
Right. Star daughter. Yeah.
Star daughter. Yeah.
Tell us about that. Yeah. Tony DeTata, a really great guy, worked as a mechanic car detailer when he was like 17 years old. This is in 1963. He had a very close up sighting with a UFO over his home in New York. It was a typical flying saucer. Says it was clearly unusual. It was an awesome thing to see, and it really impressed him. And it was just a few years later, in 1967, he's 21 years old. He's hanging out in the local park with his friends, and it's getting late, so his friends decide to go home. So it's just him and his other friend, and they're sitting there on a park bench when suddenly they look a couple hundred yards away, and they see what appears to be this gray E.T., in a kind of silver jumpsuit, and it's gliding through across the golf course there, maybe, gosh, quarter mile away, moving at very high speeds, faster than anything can run. It goes, and it disappears behind this grove of pine trees, completely freaks them out. They go running back to see their friends, and all their friends are now asleep. Turns out, I think they had missing time. He's not sure. But it was apparently much later than they had realized, which is always kind of a red flag. This is when he starts having memories of being on board a UFO. Doesn't ever remember being, you know, taken. Doesn't remember being struck by a beam of light. Nothing like this. It's just suddenly he realized, like, hey, I remember this. And sure, it happened when he was, you know, much younger, a teenager, 12, 13, around there, that he was on board a UFO. And he describes sort of interior UFOs I often hear. He said that there was indirect lighting, round rooms. He's sitting on a table, and there's this gray ET standing in front of him, kind of staring at him face to face. That's something they do. It's very strange. He didn't get any messages, but he could see that it was alive because he sort of winked at him. And that's all he remembers, you know, consciously. But it started a really sort of a lifetime of experiences.
And that somehow culminates in him believing he's got a daughter, like one of these hybrids, it sounds like.
Yeah, I know. He started realizing, you know, that after thinking he might be an abductee, he joined a UFO group in New York and decided he's going to go under hypnosis. He's the only guy in this book, you know, who I present in this book, who has gone under hypnosis. I'm a total believer in hypnosis. I think it's a really wonderful tool to uncover memories of UFO abduction. But in this book, I didn't want to portray it that way because there's arguments of false memory syndrome and made up memories. I just didn't want to have to deal with that.
Yeah, by not having hypnotically recalled stories, then you just avoid that whole problem altogether.
Exactly.
But still, I mean, it's interesting because this person seems to, or has this feeling, like you're saying, that he's got, like, did he ever meet her, or what did these hypnotic regression sessions actually reveal? I mean, we might as well get into them now that we started anyway.
So he goes under hypnosis, and he recalls not going back to this childhood incident, but another incident with his girlfriend, where they'd gone driving to go sightseeing, and somehow ended up behind this diner the next morning. They never thought they had missing time, but they do remember being very disoriented and wondering how they got there. And under hypnosis, he recalls that they took a wrong turn off the main road, came up to this giant landed UFO, and were pulled inside of it. He said it had a weird kind of rubbery floor. They were taken to this column. There was all these symbols on it. There was this very tall figure. Couldn't see what it looked like, but it was 8 feet tall, 9 feet tall, very tall, and scared him pretty bad. And that's all he really remembers. He did have a later encounter where he was out with his at his brother's house and had just retired for the evening and was heading towards his car, turned on the headlights, and there's a gray standing right in front of his car, right in front of the headlights. And he and the gray stared at each other for a good 20 seconds, 30 seconds maybe. And suddenly the gray takes off, gliding through the field and towards a fence that's about 6 feet high. This gray, he said, leapt up maybe 20 feet in the air and landed down on the other side and took off. He ran inside, told everyone, and they go running out, and they can see this trail it left in the grass, and they follow it to the end of the trail where it just disappears. Dogs were going crazy. Dogs wouldn't come out for 2 days up under the bed after that. That was his most sort of dramatic encounter. But he just started having these memories of having a hybrid daughter. He started sensing her around. And he doesn't remember when he actually saw her or how, but he has these vivid memories of what she looks like. And so he went online and starts looking at drawings and came upon a drawing of a hybrid ET. And it was exactly what his daughter looks like in his mind.
So right now, are these like Pamela Anderson type ones that, or is this something different? Because I seem to have run across something where there's this, you know what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah. That's another case. That's the case of Gary, the guy who choked the alien. Poor Gary. Okay. He's not a happy guy. You know, he's having a difficult time dealing with the gray aliens. For him, it began when, as a very young boy, he and his family were followed home by a UFO. It paced their car for about an hour. You know, he's like 5 years old, seven. Following that, started having these grays come into his bedroom and scaring the living daylights out of him. His parents were kind of abusive, very abusive, so he didn't get any help from them. Finally was able to leave home and start thriving. He's 20 years old, wakes up on board a UFO. He thinks he's in the hospital. Somebody is injecting his head at the temple, and it's extremely painful. He looks up expecting to see a doctor, but no, it's a very tall, very scary-looking gray being. He has no idea about UFOs, has never really thought of them at all, pretty much forgot about that childhood sighting, and sort of denied what was happening to him as a child with the grays coming into his bedroom. But sees this gray alien and just freaks out, starts swearing at it and saying, "You're hurting me. You're effing hurting me. Stop, stop." He says this gray wouldn't stop, showed no compassion whatsoever. He says these guys don't believe in anesthetics. And he was very angry. And he started having a lot of encounters after that, being pulled from his bedroom. He'd wake up, the covers were being pulled off of him. He couldn't move, and he'd zoom out through the window and black out. Happened several times. He does have some memories of being on board. He remembered one time he's on board and he's in this underwater tank kind of thing, which he can breathe while he's underwater there. He remembered seeing a bunch of people on board the UFO at one point, all unconscious and laying on the ground. He said there was probably 100 of them. So he's had a lot of encounters. One time he woke up, he was on board the UFO, he was fully awake. They were apparently returning him to his home because this UFO is coming down fast towards his house. The grays are not aware he's awake. And so he shouts out at some point, "All right, lads," really loud. Their reaction was priceless. One of them jumps up out of his chair and starts running around the little room, his arms over his head, just completely panicking. And the other continued to pilot the UFO. Finally, he just says, "It's all right. You know, I won't hurt you. Don't be afraid." Which was, you know, a real turning of the tables, because that's usually what they say to him. You know, "Don't be afraid, we won't hurt you." The other gray sat down, they stopped the UFO, and they came up and they talked to him. And they said, "We didn't know you were awake, we're sorry, this has never happened. Most people don't wake up." And he asked them, "Well, why are you abducting me? Why are you abducting me?" And they became very sad, he said. That was his impression. And they said, "We can't tell you why, we're not allowed." He said, "Will you let me remember this?" And they said, "No, we're not allowed." He did remember it later that day, but not immediately.
This is the same guy. He had some experience of what maybe seemed like an apparition that disappeared out of their room. And he was telling his wife about it and was watching the news. and the newscaster was saying people were being abducted by aliens that were Pamela Anderson lookalikes.
More to come with Gene and Randall and Preston. You're in the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Attention, fellow Americans. We are now at an all-time high risk of illnesses due to pathogens and viruses. So it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. Do it with new nanocolloidal silver from Americare. Using a patented process with tiny silver particles 1/100th the size of a red blood cell that allows for maximum absorption, Americare's nanocolloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it inhibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever at around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I had to break when the phrase Pamela Anderson lookalikes. Are we talking about Pamela Anderson in her heyday or now when she's 300 years old?
Heyday. Let's say heyday. Yeah, this is a very interesting case because he had what he thought was a sighting of a ghost. And that's how he interpreted it first. Now he's not so sure, and nor am I. He woke up, and there was a woman in his room. He first thought it was his wife, but he could now feel that his wife is still sleeping next to him. He jumps up and scares the living daylights out of this woman, who immediately flies up through the roof, the ceiling. Says it was weird. The ceiling almost opened up, and then it closed up. You know, he's screaming. His wife is awake. She's out of bed, and she's like, "What's going on?" And he's like, "Look, look at the roof," because he can still see it closing up. She missed it. She missed the whole thing. But yeah, he said it was this woman who looked very young, very attractive, a little bit exotic, and I was wearing this weird gray suit. No markings, but very new looking. He said it was what he was really impressed with. He just didn't know how to interpret this. He thought it was a ghost. And it happened again. He woke up, and this time it's looking at his wife. And he's awake. This figure, this woman, does not realize he's awake. So he says, "Hello. Hello there," and reaches out and touches her. She reacts with extreme violence, jumps up, pushes him over, and disappears through the wall. His wife is, of course, awake. And he's like, "Oh, my God, it happened again. It happened again." So we know this is a physical thing because he was pushed over. He touched her, and then she pushed him over. And they had to go, you know, downstairs to calm down, drink some tea, you know, English way. So, yeah, it was crazy. And he later heard that report in the news about human-looking ETs that look like Pamela Anderson. You have to wonder because there are a number of cases of, you know, yeah, human-looking ETs that are very beautiful. That's how they're often described, as being very attractive.
Right. I mean, this makes me wonder, you know, if they're able to manifest an image of whatever it is that they want. So I say if they're monitoring all of our pop culture, who's to say that they don't have some sort of active camouflage or something like, you know, within the movie Predator or whatever, where they can make themselves, you know, look like whatever they want to look like?
Well, we know they can. I mean, there's one case in the book where a lady came home. This is the case of Pat. Who, oh, my gosh, we have to talk about her case at some point. But, yeah, she came home. One was wearing a pinstripe suit. And there are, of course, screen memories. These can appear as children, as clowns, teddy bears, superheroes, cowboys. I've heard it all. Owls, deer, wolves, bugs. They can appear as human-looking, too. They can appear as our relatives. I've heard that a few times, you know, your spouse or your parent or something. I don't know that we've seen their true appearance at all. I'm guessing that grays do look like grays. You know, the human lookings do look human looking. What I do know is the humanoid form is pretty much universal. Can't think of a single darn case that doesn't involve, you know, a humanoid of some kind that I've personally investigated. I mean, even light beings, you know, will be described as having arms and legs.
Well, I guess there is some exotic ones out there. You know, you get the robots and you get the praying mantis types and the reptilians. But still, you've got, you know, the two eyes, you've got a face, right, of some kind. And in the robots, well, except for glowing orbs. I mean, the one that when I was younger in my teens, that I and my girlfriend and her friend, we all three of us saw it. And yeah, it seemed to be intelligent. I mean, at first you might think ball lightning, and we might want to cover that case too, because I think that there is a case of ball lightning in your book here. But the one that we saw was, it behaved too much like it had intent, and in a very repetitive manner, like not in a haphazard manner at all. And so it seemed to us like this thing was actually alive. It wasn't just like a ship or something. It seemed to be some kind of an entity.
Yeah, I've had witnesses say that. You know, they come upon a UFO and they didn't feel like it was necessarily a ship. There was one guy who was driving through the Central Valley here in California along Interstate 5 and told me this incredible encounter. He was very interested in UFOs, had been for years, had read deeply on the subject, always wanted to see a UFO and thought, you know, when I see one, I'm going to run up and knock on it and say, "Take me aboard." And he said, "That's not what happened at all." He said it was very scary. He was driving along with his friend. Late at night, he was driving. He always likes to drive, will not ride in a car with another person. It's just weird that way. And came upon what they thought at first was a crop dusting helicopter or something, because it had multicolored lights. It was very low, right alongside the highway. had this kind of immersive fog or mist all around it. And as they came right alongside it, you know, it's 50 feet, 100 feet away, they realized it wasn't a helicopter. It was totally silent. It was just these moving balls of light, colors of light, maybe around an object they couldn't quite tell because there was all this fog, but it seemed alive. It seemed like it was this sort of creature almost, and that it was going to prey on them. They became very frightened when a beam of light came out of it and started playing across the field, heading towards their car. Like, oh, God, it's going to hit us. And it did. And the next thing they know is they're farther along the highway. He's no longer driving. His friend is. And they can't talk. They try to speak, and all that comes out is gibberish. And they couldn't talk for a good, you know, half an hour. And then they just didn't talk. They didn't talk about it at all. And some weeks later, they finally got together, and they're like, oh, yeah, this happened. And they both have sort of vague memories of getting out and going up to this thing. But that's all they can really call. By the way, he quit his job. He left his girlfriend, moved to Hawaii, bought a bunch of food, and was living in a cave last time I heard.
No, he's probably better stocked than most people are right now then. You know, maybe he had the right idea. But that is kind of one of the messages, though, that some of these people have been getting, is that they're, you know, prepare for some kind of a global catastrophe, isn't it?
For sure. Yeah, it comes up quite a bit. I'd say it's probably the number one message, other than, you know, don't be afraid, we won't hurt you, that people get. I do think ETs are concerned about our planet. Maybe we're their experiment or not, but either case, they don't want their experiment to blow itself up. So they do seem to be trying to save us in that regard, for sure.
Yeah, okay, so we've got Dolly, I think was her name in your book. She says that ETs are trying to help us as best they can, but people become frightened. And this is a huge issue because they really mean to do us no harm. But then again, now we're back to square one. And Gene, you've often brought this up as well. Well, you know, if they're here to help us, why do they have this non-interference directive at the same time? I mean, how can you help somebody if you can't do anything?
Yeah, it's one of those enigmas about this whole phenomenon, isn't it? UFOs are generally evasive. They come at night. They don't want to be seen. This is not always true. They put on displays over schoolyards. I'm working on a new book right now where UFOs hover over drive-in theaters. I found 80 cases where they're putting on displays that, you know, rival the movie itself. So, and sometimes they want to be seen. They do intervene in human affairs. And the UFO comes down and picks up a few more survivors. And the next thing Pat knows, she's being placed back on her driveway. And
more to come with Gene and Randall and Preston. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Vice President Mike Pence says the coronavirus task force is meeting this weekend to review the numbers and recommend what steps to take next. The president has pushed this week to reopen as much of the country as he can safely.
I certainly want to get it open as soon as possible. I don't want it to be long, but we also want it to open safe.
The new stimulus bill will send resources to healthcare providers and money to families and individuals who've been laid off during the outbreak. The president says many companies are pitching in to help.
We've had tremendous results on the respirators. We've had great results on just about everything we're talking about. Boeing just announced that they're going to be making the plastic face shields, the actual shields, which are hard to come by, and they're going to be making them by the thousands a week.
This is USA Radio News.
So here's the choice. Some people say the USA is finished. It's evil, a has-been, full of hate and injustice. The U.S. Constitution should be trashed and the Bill of Rights abolished. No free speech, no gun ownership. Competition and free markets are bad. We're all too stupid. For our own good, the government must own everything and know all your secrets.
Other people say that America has created the freest, richest, happiest, most generous society that has ever existed in the world. That's why millions of people are desperate to come here and escape their brutal lives in Cuba, Venezuela, North Korea, and 100 other countries.
In America, we have the right to succeed, the right to our own living, the right to have a family, the right to believe in God, the right to have our own ideas, the right to be safe and secure, and the right to be left alone.
Where do you stand? Help us save the Constitution and restore the American dream. Go to SaveMyFreedom.com.
Brought to you by the American Media Council.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So briefly, and let's kind of back up a little bit, talking about instances where UFO knots, whatever they are, actually tried to help rather than just sit by and make big pronouncements.
So Pat had this very unusual UFO dream where she's outside looking at this village somewhere in South America, she's thinking. And they're collecting people and putting them inside this UFO. And not just a few, a good 100. They did this for a couple of hours and filled this UFO up with people from this village. It was very strange. The people just followed like sheep. No one protested. No one questioned anything. She saw grays. She saw human-looking ETs. And suddenly she's on her driveway. The ETs are saying goodbye. They put her back in her house. She wakes up the next morning thinking, oh, God, here's another UFO dream. What is going on? She calls up her best friend, says, I had this weird UFO dream where we rescued people from a volcano. And her friend says, Pat, you better go turn on the TV right away. So Pat hangs up and turns on the TV, and it's on every channel. The Nevada del Ruiz volcano has just exploded in Colombia, South America. It's killed some 27,000 people, they later found out. Totally buried the town of Armero. Pat thinks that's the town that she saw. She could see this footage on TV that matched exactly what she saw. She said it was horrific because there was a lot of people dying. It was a huge tragedy. But she does recall a lot of these people being taken into this UFO. And you have to ask, what happened to them? Presumably they're not returned. I mean, how could you return these people? They're all missing and no one's ever going to know because they're presumed dead. But no, they're apparently rescued. It's a very unusual case. Certainly not the only case where people have been rescued. But man, with those numbers, I don't know of any other case quite like it.
But then again, this was just a dream. Maybe there were no UFOs. Maybe nobody actually was rescued. Maybe it was a premonitory dream with just sort of UFOs added into the scenery, kind of. I had premonitory dreams too. I had a premonitory dream of a train derailing pretty much almost at the time it was happening, but there was no way I could have been in contact with it. I don't know, maybe she was picking up something telepathically. Who knows? Or maybe there were UFOs. I mean, it sounds fascinating. It sounds like something someone should go down there and see if they can find any evidence.
Right? I would love to do that. I do think it's a real dream because she's got other cases. I mean, she was once very sick with pneumonia, and ETs came and cured her. She did have her leukemia disappear mysteriously. She's had a lot of stuff that seems to indicate this is a physical phenomena for her, certainly.
Yeah, I remember running across that. Were you able to verify that with any of her medical reports or doctors? Or was this just you just taking it at her, you know, at her word?
In her case, yeah. I do have another case, Lynette, who does have her doctor reports. There was another guy I interviewed, Jim Schaefer, a guy from Canada, who claimed to be cured of cancer. And he showed me before and after pictures of his tumor and how it disappeared. He sent me the doctor reports. These experiences leave a long, long line of baffled doctors, and they're very reluctant to label this as UFO-related. In Jim Schaefer's case, he had already shared his UFO history with his doctors because he would come in with cuts and bruises. Once his foot was broken, he woke up with a broken foot, puncture wounds, all kinds of stuff. He'd take pictures of him, rush to the doctor. So they were familiar with his case, and he was scheduled to have cancer surgery to have his tumor removed. When he had an encounter with an orb in his bedroom, he actually filmed the very orb that apparently cured him. That woke up that morning, the tumor was gone. He couldn't believe it. I got the doctor reports. They called it a miraculous healing. They said there was no trace of the cancer. They didn't label it, you know, UFO healed, obviously, because all they can say is that there was cancer there and then there wasn't. And they don't know how it disappeared.
We're all wondering where the film is.
Which film? The film that Jim took?
The film that he says he took of the orb that cured him.
Yeah, he sent it to me. I have it somewhere buried here in my computer.
Is it in a YouTube video or anything?
I think he has posted online. Yeah, I'll see if I can find the link for it.
That would be awesome. Yeah, if you could come on to our forum and of course, you know, we've got a question bank page for you there. Yeah, come on and post that up so that we can follow up with it on the forum a little bit later. That sounds fascinating.
For sure, yeah. I'll do it. Yeah. Hopefully I can find it.
Something else that just on a tangent here, a couple of times you'd mentioned screen memories and that one of the things that people were seeing were clowns. And this just reminded me that back in 2016, there was this whole rogue evil clown sighting pandemic going on, it seemed like. Do you recall that? People were seeing just random these clowns in disguises, evil clowns in incongruous settings like near forests and schools, all the same places where we are seeing UFOs. I mean, do you think that's just a coincidence?
Yeah, I remember that. I don't know. I don't think it's a coincidence that there's sort of this evil clown theme that runs through movies, and chlorophobia, fear of clowns, is really, really common among abductees and actually common among society at large. It's funny, whenever I hear someone who's got a fear of clowns, I kind of want to start asking them questions about UFOs. And it's certainly one of the questions I do ask people who, you know, I suspect might be having contact. Yeah, I don't think it's coincidence at all.
I mean, yeah, at first, you know, I thought, oh, these are just jokers out there, you know, just playing practical jokes on people. But, I mean, now you're kind of making me wonder if there actually is a connection.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me a bit, to be perfectly honest.
One of our former guests, she claimed to have actually been on board UFOs during a sort of conference type thing. I'm not sure if you're familiar with UFOCUS in New Zealand. Jean, have I got that right? We're talking Suzanne Hansen here. I believe she was saying that she was taken on board and met with all kinds of people, other people from different countries, and then they were all put back. And somewhere along the way, there was a couple of people who did bother to exchange information, because this is one of the things I asked her. You know, with all these people on board, it would be really common for people to exchange phone numbers, business cards, whatever the case may be. And then you could kind of prove the next day by getting in touch with each other that that actually happened. And apparently this did happen with at least one or two people.
Well, when we had Denise Stoner and Kathleen Martin on the Paracast, and they both wrote a book about Denise's abductions. And I believe it was her who recalled an instance where she met somebody on board the supposed spaceship, and they exchanged greetings, business cards, and separately, after the event was over, they got in touch with one another. So a shared dream, what went on there? That's one of the more interesting and compelling pieces of information that I think leads someone like Kathleen to think something weird's going on.
Yeah, that's a great case. I haven't heard a lot like that. That does turn up for sure. I'm not sure I personally investigated any cases like that, but I know one case that's just like that. Beth Collings and Anna Jamerson were both having repeated abductions throughout their lives, and later met each other in real life and realized that they had met each other aboard a UFO when they were little kids. And I do have one case like that, which I haven't written about, where a gentleman from Montana and a lady from Nevada were both having encounters with cat-like ETs, and they later met each other and became married and continued to have encounters with apparently the same ETs.
At least it started a romance there. That sounds like fun.
A number of witnesses tell me that they feel like their partners were set up by the ETs, that they met, you know, their significant other through some sort of weird coincidence that was perhaps guided by the ETs. Yeah, it turns up a lot.
What is interesting to me here, which is apropos maybe of nothing, is that going back through history here, you have these weird coincidences, especially the one where we have to break now. More to come with Preston, Sheen, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Attention, fellow Americans. We are now at an all-time high risk of illnesses due to pathogens and viruses. So it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. Do it with new nanocolloidal silver from Americare. Using a patented process with tiny silver particles 1/100th the size of a red blood cell that allows for maximum absorption, Americare's nanocolloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it inhibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever at around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA? Or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
You have these situations, guys, where something, a weird synchronicity happens. And I'll say one right here, right now. I mentioned this on the show. So Barbara and I have been married for probably close to 44 years right now. We met in 1976, and I joined a dating service. Of course, then you weren't doing things online now, like you have OkCupid and all these dating services now. Then it was being done by either telephone or by snail mail. So I got this listing of potential partners, and she was last on the list. And we got to talking, and to be very brief about it, she said, you know, maybe we should not get together because you're tall. I was, you know, 6'1", 6'2". I'm a little older now and a little shorter. And she was just around 5 feet. And she said, you know, maybe you're too tall for me. And I said, you know what? My mother is not much taller than you, and my father's only an inch or so smaller than me, and they made it, and they did fine, more or less, over the years. So I don't think height matters so much as getting along. And somehow that struck a chord, and so we got together, and we got together again and again. In the meantime, the dating service, within a week or two after we met for the first time, went out of business. After succeeding in getting us together, it was gone. Don't ask me to even explain that.
That's pretty cool. I like that story. I think it would be totally cool to actually meet up with someone that way. You know, I'm back single now, you know, having lost my previous life partner to cancer. Unfortunately, the aliens didn't save her, but I can tell you the regular dating scene out there is a total minefield. It's like, oh man, they might be doing me a favor if they could hook me up that way. So.
Well, they definitely do it. Another case comes to mind. A guy I interviewed recently. I haven't written about his case yet. I plan to. His name is Don. He's from Utah. Was very religious when he had this encounter where Grays showed up and were trying to take his son. And suddenly all these memories of encounters he's had throughout his life sort of flooded back, things which he had denied or erased from his memory. And they took him aboard this UFO and showed him all this stuff. There was a kid who was playing with his own child, who they didn't know, but turned out to come back into their lives or come into their lives for the first time a few months later. And the ETs told him as well that he would meet this woman and showed an image of her. Turned out she was from, gosh, like, I forget where. It was another country. They did end up meeting and having a relationship for a number of years. And it was, again, yeah, prophecy to board a UFO.
Wow. Tell us about the woman who works for the Army Department of Defense who is approached by a UFO with a message that will save her life.
Yeah, Dolly, amazing lady. Her father was in the military, and as a very young child, she started having a lot of weird experiences where this started actually when she was 2 years old. She would disappear from her room, and they'd find her later, like, in the closet or outside. They once found her 2 miles from her house. She had no memories of how she got there. So there was this weird disappearing act that went on a number of times. She started having visitors into her room. She didn't really talk about it because she didn't know what to think. One time, she's like 14 years old. She was very interested in astronomy at this time. She's very interested in science and was out there looking at the stars and saw a large group of UFOs. And one of them comes dropping out of the sky right over her backyard. It's literally 50 feet away or so. And it sends down this beam of light, and she turns to run. And the next thing she remembers is, you know, the next morning, her clothes are on all strange, not quite the way she put them on. She's very disoriented and sitting on her floor. She later found that, you know, heard the news that morning. There was a number of reports of UFOs in her area. So she's started having encounters very early on. As a young teenager, she would have what she called her UFO dreams. Again, this is how a lot of people interpret them, where she would be taken to another place, she said, which clearly wasn't to Earth. There was a much lighter gravity. All the trees and plants were very different. There were other children there, and they were all being taught sort of various subjects, some on science, but mostly about altruism, she said. You know, the importance of being a good person and how interconnected we all are. As she grew up, she had more UFO experiences and a lot of close-up sightings. One time, you know, now she's working for the Army Department of Defense and is heading towards work one evening, Fort Benning, I believe it was, and sees this UFO behind her car. It's huge. It's got this giant bank of lights. She's very familiar with aircraft. She knows something that large would have to be pretty darn loud, and she couldn't hear a thing. And so it's getting closer and closer, and suddenly it buzzes her car. It swoops down 50 feet over her car, swoops about 200 feet up in the air, turns around, and faces her. She, of course, slams on the brakes and stares at this thing, and it sends a telepathic message. It said, "Home is not good. Home is not good."
Oh.
She's like, well, I don't know what that means. You know, what does that mean? She's completely freaked out. It darts away. You know, she ends up going to work and asking them, you know, is anything strange going on? Any weird aircraft coming in? Her superior kind of looks at her sharply and says, no. You know, she makes some discreet calls during her break to other airports and local bases to see if there's any reports of unusual aircraft. Can't find anything, no evidence that anyone else saw what she saw, and is really shook up because she doesn't quite understand what this message means. She's thinking, you know, something bad at home. Does that mean, you know, Earth? I mean, her house? What does it mean? So she goes home and has a dream of this sort of sighting, and in the dream, her husband's name is attached to the message. So something is bad at home with her husband. And she thinks, well, that's great, because she's having trouble with her husband at this time. He's acting very distant and aloof, unloving. She's having a lot of health problems, too. She has Chinese food that night and just gets very sick. Her husband brings home Chinese food, and she takes a couple of bites and is just very badly sick and has to be rushed to the hospital with apparent food poisoning. That's what they thought it was. You know, she recovered. A couple of days later, she had what looked like a heart attack. That's, again, what the doctors thought it was. And they treated her and eventually released her. But she was still very sick. She couldn't figure out what was going on. But she kept thinking about this message from the UFO that it had to do with her husband. And then her husband announces, you know what? I'm taking over the finances. You're too sick. And she says, no, that's not going to happen. Get out of the house. So they had a very messy separation. And she slowly felt better, but was having a lot of problems. And finally went to another doctor and got a really extensive blood test. And he had terrible news. He said, your blood has antifreeze in it. Someone has been poisoning you.
Oh, wow.
Turned out her husband was a secret sociopath. Long history of violence. She's got more evidence, you know, that he was lying and apparently poisoning her. And she feels like this UFO saved her life.
That is really, really interesting.
So, yeah, she's one of the people who feels like UFOs are very friendly. She's, you know, was once driving along, completely lost, could not find her way home. A UFO appeared. Another time, she woke up in her house and was going downstairs to the kitchen to get some juice or milk. And there was a gray there. And she's looking at it, and she couldn't believe it because she's completely just, you know, conscious and standing there. And so is it. She's like, oh, my God, you know, what are you doing here? Who are you? And he said, you know who I am. She said, no, I don't know you. He said, yes, you do. I'm your son. And she looked at him. You know, he was a hybrid. He looked gray, but part human. And she said she could actually see some family resemblance in this figure. And she's like, wow, this is amazing. You know, she'd been shown hybrid babies before, but this guy was full grown. Or she asked him, how old are you? You would think of me as about 25, but actually I'm much older because I don't always live in your time stream. He tried to explain it to her. She says a lot of it went over her head. But he told her, yeah, I'm always here. I'm always watching over you. We will always protect you.
Well, isn't that nice?
All kinds of, yeah. Friends in high places, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. That takes us back to sort of the beginning of the show when you briefly mentioned that there's some people who had interpreted them as angels. And so this reminds me of being very guardian angel-like.
Let's look at these guardian angels that help pay the bills, at least for the network. We're to come with Preston, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.